This episode includes discussion on domestic violence and abuse, which may be upsetting for some listeners. We encourage you to listen at your own discretion and be mindful of your own needs. If you or someone you know is affected by domestic violence, you can call TWC's crisis lines at 543-3456 or at 1-800-478-7799.
You are listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This week, TWC's Peace Talk.
Welcome and thank you for joining us today on TWC's Peace Talk radio show. My name is Annie Mae Lee and I will be your host today. We will be talking about domestic violence and the importance of sharing your story. Today you will be hearing about and from our guest, Eleanor Fox, and she'll be sharing her experience with domestic violence. Though this is a difficult topic, it's important that we hear stories from the region and know that if you or your loved ones are experiencing violence, that you are not alone, that there are resources available for you, and you deserve a happy life. I'd like to take this time before we show the recording to thank Eleanor Fox for sharing her story, which was a really brave and lovely thing to do in order to connect people from our region. TWC's mission in the region is to provide safe, empowering services for families experiencing domestic or sexual violence. We seek to promote violence-free communities through culturally appropriate outreach programs and supportive services. The Peace Talk radio show is our opportunity to let the region know what work we are doing, and answer questions if people have them. This is a pre-recorded show, but if you would like information on TWC, please feel free to call us at any of our numbers. And the TWC contact information for our Bethel local business line is 907-543-3444. Our 24-hour crisis line, which is 907-543-3456, and the toll-free number, which is 1-800-478-7799. Again, our local business line is 543-3444. Our 24-hour crisis line is 543-3456, and our toll-free number is 1-800-478-7799. And on to our announcements. Through the City of Bethel CARES money, which is passed through BCSF, TWC is offering individual assistance for those who have experienced financial difficulty because of COVID. You may qualify for assistance if you had to quarantine after exposure and couldn't work from home, or if you were furloughed from your workplace. If you think you qualify, please go to TWC's website, which is www.tundrapeace.org, peace spelled as in spelling world peace, and go to the COVID-19 grants tab to fill out an application online, or you could print one out and fax it to TWC. TWC's fax number is 543-3752. And again, the TWC website is www.tundrapeace.org. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and though it is drawing to a close, it's important that we remember the fight to end abuse continues all year round. This Domestic Violence Month, we had a thrift store sale for our community members. Many people sent in beautiful pictures for the Purple Gospel campaign. And though we cannot meet physically, we as a community have shown that we care and are willing to stand together. Though Domestic Violence Awareness Month is ending, we are still offering information, handouts, and bags to the community, so call TWC if you have a program or know people who are experiencing or affected by domestic violence. In these bags, you'll find candy, healthy relationship cards, magnets, purple ribbons, tea, and information on TWC services. If your program would like to hand them out, or if you have any questions, feel free to call me, Annie Mae Lee, at TWC, And the easiest way to call me is to use our local business line, which is 907-543-3444. And I'll put you down for a delivery if they're available. Look out for the Domestic Violence Awareness Month Snapchat geofilter, which is centered around AC and TWC. Take a picture with the filter and show your support by spreading the message, "I expect respect." Look out for TWC's board's message about Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which can be seen on TWC's Facebook page. For more information, again, feel free to call TWC's business line at 907-543-3444, the crisis line at 907-543-3456, or the toll-free number, which is 1-800-478-7799. And now I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce our topic. The topic we're having a guest come in and share their story about domestic violence. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Eleanor Fox from Tomahawk.
All right. So we kind of talked a little bit about what we're going to say. So please excuse us if we have any, if I have any reminders to give her. But I'm going to ask you just a couple questions to talk about domestic violence and sharing your story. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good after I ate my coffee.
All right. Earlier you expressed that you kind of were up early and excited. Yeah, what made you excited?
To be here and sharing my, sharing my past or
just sharing information about the past?
Yeah.
All right. So what makes you excited about sharing your story? Like, why is this important that you share your story?
So I can, talk to other women, the situation I had before, talk to them and go forward, relationship go forward.
Oh, so they could move forward.
Move forward to a better, relationship.
All right.
And happy and like that.
So we're going to be sharing just a very personal story. There will be no names or anything brought up. But I just want to actually get into before you were in a relationship. So before you got into a relationship, what did you know about relationships before? Who were the people that role modeled and how did that affect you? So from who did you learn about relationships?
Oh, my mom and my mom. She was the one, my aunties.
So through your parents' relationship, what would you say kind of was the dynamic between them?
Not listening to my mom and going out and finding the wrong person.
Oh, no, I mean between your parents. What did their relationship look like?
When I was growing up, no relationship with them. It was just abusive. Whenever my dad, drinks, always end up being scared us kids, looking and hearing, scared under the bed, poor mom.
What did you see with your mom?
She What did I see in my mom?
Mm-hmm.
She'd be hurting, but try to take care of us, even she's hurting. Cook for us, make sure we eat. Even my dad used to make sure we're eating. But after she left him, we feel much like we had freedom.
So you guys were scared a lot.
Scared a lot.
You guys watched her work a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So before you got into a relationship, who are your role models for what a relationship looked like? Or what type of relationship did you grow up or seeing?
My parents, my mom, and my dad. We grew up watching how really nice family, and then when it comes to alcohol, my mom be the one that get abused. And he bought us, you know, nice stuff. Like, I know one time he bought me a drawer. I was really happy, really happy. Put my clothes in there. Next thing I know, it was all destroyed, all broken. That's what I used to be thankful for, new stuff, and the next thing they're broken.
So he would kind of use that as like a forgive me or...
Yeah.
But then turn around.
Even he used to buy stuff for my mom. Next thing he'd be throwing at her. Used to watch that. And when I was gonna get married to, I didn't know, you know. I should have really known how he's gonna be doing that, and he used to be really nice, you know. Thought he wasn't gonna be abusive, but ended up me being like a punching thing.
So you didn't think that the abuse was happening, but it did?
Yeah, it did. We had babies, and my babies watched him. Even they were small, used to watch him, and now they're adults. They ask me, or when they see somebody being beaten up, they turn around, look at me, Mom. Remember, this used to happen to you too.
So then that's still kind of stuck in their memory.
Yeah. They bring back what happened.
And earlier you mentioned your wedding dress.
Oh, yeah.
And you talked a little bit about that. Do you want to just tell that story really quick?
Okay. We were planning on getting married, and then he bought me a wedding dress, really nice wedding dress, and it had pearls and stuff, and put it away. And then I was so really happy for that dress, and then the next day, beating me up till, I don't know, my poor dress, all bloody. I cried. And then I turned around when he was so sobering. I showed him the dress. And I told him, if we're gonna get married, I'm gonna use this, even if it's bloody. I'm gonna use it.
Did having that, like you talked earlier about how your dad would give your mom nice things.
And, yeah, that
reminded. And then it would turn. Did that remind you of that?
Yeah, it reminded me of a lot of things my mom went through while I'm going through this. While I was going through it, I think about the past, my mom. Poor my mom went through this too. I can talk about, she passed away. So, poor my mom. I used to watch it. scared. Take care of my brothers too, because he's being abused. Take him out, run out, even if it was really cold. Go to my grandparents, knock on the door.
How did it make you feel to know that the same might be happening with your children? The scared
ones. Yeah, that's how I thought. They used to be scared, and since I was there in my hometown, I didn't know where to turn to, but my other family members are back there.
Okay. So I just want to say for everybody that this is a cycle that is something that domestic violence people do a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's this cycle where you do something and you know you did something wrong. So you decide to do something nice to keep them in the relationship, to keep them close to you, to let them know that, you know, you love them and things like that. But that's not really what stops abuse. Mm-hmm. And did you feel like that's what was happening? Like he was doing these nice things even after, because of the bad things that happened? And then it would just switch?
Yeah, I thought, yeah. When he do that, you know, by start buying me stuff, really nice stuff, I thought he was going to be really good after that. And then things would go around and sort of same, buy me stuff really nice, go back to that situation or abused.
So it was back and forth. Back and forth.
And I.
So you talked a little bit about when you confronted him, and I have a quote on here, and you talked about how you told him, like, how could you do this? I thought you were really nice. Can you talk a little bit about that too? You talked a little bit about how you would say, like, oh, I thought you were really nice, and then he'd start crying, or he wouldn't be able to look at you. But you said that he made promises before, and he just kept making promises. Do you want to tell me about what some of those promises were?
That he stop abusing me, start helping me more with the kids, you know, start doing everything nice, helping take a walk and go to tundra, pick berries. That's a lot of stuff that we missed. And then he promised me that he'll start doing the same thing, you know, be nice to us and not make us scared.
And there's one thing that I actually have capitalized here, and it's family. Because you had talked about before how you wanted a family and how you had kind of had to grow up with abuse around the house and taking care of your siblings and stuff. And would you think that he used kind of this craving for this healthy family that you wanted to keep you in the relationship?
Yeah, that went through really good at first. I really wanted to have really good, you know, family. My babies were growing up, and I wish he'd help me. He used to help me with the kids too, but when he gets tired, he...
So it wouldn't be that he's consistent when it comes to that happy family that he's promising.
Yeah.
And then you'd say again that, you know, he had an alcohol issue, so when that would come in, it would just go straight back.
Yeah. It would go straight back, you know. After, you know, we feel really good being happy together, and when this alcohol comes, goes back to the same situation. Same. Abuse, hitting, making us scared.
So how do you feel when you hear people say, oh, he doesn't abuse, he just drinks, or I don't abuse, I only hit when I'm drunk. How do you feel when people say that?
Well, wrong. Your guys are thinking the wrong way. He does abuse. He just doesn't drink to be happy, but to abuse, not really to abuse, but start abusing.
Oh, so like ignoring that abuse that happens because he's drunk.
Yeah. And after that, she...
No,
go
sorry.
Back.
She's making gestures with your hands, just like how going back and forth.
Yeah.
And I kind of understand kind of what you mean, but I think you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you mean that, you know, he was using that as an excuse to keep going back and not saying, oh, that was me. He's saying, oh, that was the alcohol, when it really was him doing it. And I think I get what you mean a little bit. I mean, this is kind of something I see a lot working at TWC, is that you hear people say, oh, well, you know, they were drunk and stuff like that. But then you have to look at it and say, well, they are aware that they abuse when they're drunk and they keep drinking. So it's them really being abusive. This isn't just because of the alcohol. So, you know, when you would start to see it again, you would see the alcohol, you would see that more stuff coming in the house, you know, you knew the abuse was going to start. How did that make you feel?
Scared at first. Well, I used to drink with him too, and when I get really scared, I see the alcohol. It won't make me scared now. I have this to drink with him. Next thing I know, I'd be a punching ball, or what, punching.
So you would see him doing it.
See him doing it, you know, abuse.
And then you would use too to kind of help you not be scared. And then.
Yeah.
So do you think that he used alcohol to continue the abuse? Do you think that maybe the reason he offered it to you was because of that?
Yeah. And I wish... I don't know what to say.
That's okay. You talked a little bit about how when you guys would use alcohol and stuff, the next day he would do things like when people would come in or go out the door, you'd have to go hide. Can you talk a little bit about like kind of those times where he was trying to hide it after a big abuse happened?
Yeah, big abuse happened. My eyes would be shut and somebody's gonna come in, I hide so they wouldn't say nothing. I hide under the one time when there was gonna be what they call that in when they're gonna inspection when we were staying at the Asha housing, when there was gonna be an inspection, I had to go hide. Because I was all bruised up and couldn't even open my eyes. I had to use my fingers to open my eyes and look around. But when the ASHA people were going to come to inspect the house, I had to go away. I had to hide under the stairs. As long as they were there. Hidden under there. I was so scared. They got done telling me they're all done. And then when they asked me, where is she? Some kind of excuse that I'm working someplace. And I was there under the stairs hiding. That's how bad scary parts.
And I can imagine that it's very scary, and I can't imagine what it feels like to know that, you know, there's someone there in you, they could see you. And I know it could be, you talked a little bit about how embarrassing, it was a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
And, you know, knowing that they're there and they're so close to seeing, but he's right there.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit, and I'm sorry that I'm not, that this is kind of just a little bit of a list, but we talked a little bit about some warning signs that I actually heard you talk about, like, or just these things that happened before or after an abuse. And you said that he would do things like take the phone, not let you leave.
Yeah.
Maybe they would hide shoes, coats.
When after he, you know, beat me up so much, and like he didn't want me to go out or call the police or something. He'd take the phone when he's gonna go to work. He'd take the phone, take the keys, close the windows, goes out and padlock the door so nobody would come in or I can't go out or anything. So.
How did you feel when you knew that you can't go out or? Really, what was going on in your head? Not how do you feel. I imagine you were scared.
I know.
But
I
was, what was going through your mind?
How will I do this? I want to go out, but my face was all swollen up. I didn't want people, you know. I was embarrassed of my face. I want to go out, but what if people see me and start talking? You know, and word goes around really fast nowadays. They talk.
So you didn't feel like they would support you, more like they talk about you.
Yeah.
And did he ever say anything to like reinforce this, to make you feel bad, worse about something? Or?
He didn't used to say anything. He just used to, I don't know.
So it's just something that you thought, and like they would just look at you and talk about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I might imagine that there's some experiences like that, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And just before we go into this next part, do you have anything you want to say to anybody who might be experiencing that type of embarrassment or this isolation happening from a partner, like being locked away or taking phones taken away? Is there anything you would want them to know?
I really want to help, you know, like me when I was, just be yourself, talk to somebody, tell them I used to keep myself, you know, keep it to myself. Now, just tell somebody, your friend, your best friend, tell them about what's, I don't know.
So just that silence is
Silence is no good to go. I'll go, you know. You gotta say something. Because we love you guys, you know. I didn't know they loved me too. They used to talk to me, and I didn't used to, you know. But please tell somebody, don't go through this.
One thing that is really popular, of course, you probably know, saying here is that I'm telling this because I love you. I'm saying this because I love you, letting people know I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to just say that even though it's very difficult to tell someone about something that's going on, that a part of having people who love you is also loving them enough to let them help you.
Yeah.
Even if it's just listening, even if it's just being there, even if you don't want to make a report, having, when people love you, yeah, a way to show them that you love them back is to let them be there.
Don't be hiding anything. You know, hiding, I used to do that, hide. Just be, you know, be yourself. Tell your friend, don't be hiding. My mom used to ask me when I have bruise. She used to ask me, what happened now? And I tell her, oh, I fell down. And she knew. She knew that I'd been... I used to turn around and say something that I fell in. So,
but it was hard, you know, that's hard, a difficult thing.
Really hard, yeah. But please, don't hide. Just please. It really hurts.
So, you're out of this relationship.
Mm.
And what caused, or what was the start of you being away from this relationship?
Oh, he, from assaulting too much, he went to jail. And that's when I had to go on my own, you know. Just go and never come back. That's what I did.
So that distance just helped that you feel safer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Distance, yeah.
And you mentioned a little earlier about how you were told that you could have stayed in that house you guys lived in. Do you want to tell kind of the reason why you didn't?
Yeah, I knew if he come out of the jail, come out, he'd go back, which he did after it. Good thing I went out. I knew he'd come back. Soon as he got out of jail, he went to the house. I know he, even if I stay there, he would have went in and start to sing again. I didn't want that to happen. So I just moved out of that house.
And was this a stressful thing for you?
My babies, you know, had no babies. And
and well, with babies, if, yeah, I'd imagine it'd be very stressful to leave a whole household.
Yeah, a whole household, and I had to clean that house. I didn't want it to leave the house, but I know he'd come back and start this up all over again. How many times, and I even have lots of scars.
And you didn't want that to happen.
I didn't want that to happen.
So you talked a little about how you felt free after leaving. Like you said, and I have it on quotes here, you said there was going to be no more hurting on your body.
Yeah, no more hurting, no more watching, no more peeling the hit on my head, no more.
And you said that was pretty liberating, but you were still scared because it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. But if he sees me alone, he's going to come back to me and beat me up.
And did you look out for that a lot?
Yeah, I used to, yeah, really much. I used to, you know, like he'd have somebody to. But I used to, scary part, that looking out for me. But I'm good now, you know, I have people talking to me, more and more people talk to me. You did the right thing, you know, moving on.
So you're getting that support you didn't feel like you had before.
Yeah, I have lots of support, yeah.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm. Really good to have support, supportive family.
How did you feel when he got out of jail?
Scared. he's going to hunt me down. He's going to kill me.
And you said that there was previous attempts on your life before.
Yeah, he almost did that to me 3-4 times. He almost killed me 3-4 times, and I knew what was going on.
You knew what he was capable of.
Yeah. And then after I left him, he found another relationship. He started having a relationship with one of my friends I know. She was my friend too. And then the next thing, I heard that my friend, well, I didn't really hear, but...
Oh, we could talk about that now. You talked about how you were randomly going, like you'd go to the hospital or something, and people were giving you all those hugs.
Yeah.
You want to say a little bit about that?
Okay. I went down to the hospital. Soon as I came in, my friends, you know, I have friends, they come over and start hugging me. How many times? 3-4 times my friends would come to me and hug me. The fourth time they did that, I asked, how come you guys keep hugging me? This never used to happen, you know. I was wondering, how come they're hugging me? And then that first person that did that to me was really happy to see me and said, I'm glad it wasn't you. And I was wondering, how come they're talking like that? What's going on? What happened? I'm glad it wasn't you. I heard my friend got killed from, you know, he killed from my...
Your ex-husband?
Yeah.
He killed his girlfriend?
Yeah. And I told I got weak, really weak. I didn't know. And she was my friend, my best friend too.
I would think it's so scary to like have those attempts at your life before.
And he was free for a long time. That was the scariest part. Couldn't get out of the house by myself. Had to have friends with me all the time. After he went to jail, I so relieved.
Yeah, I could see you, like, it looked like you were picking up a thing off your shoulder when you did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I want to talk about, like, we kind of skipped over this a little bit, but between the first time your husband went to jail and this time between, I'm sorry, the loss of your friend, you met someone.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk a little bit about that person?
Yeah. I met this guy and I'm with him now. Really different from that first experience I had. Abusive too. Really good, you know. We go to church together. Go to church together, do stuff together, go store together, go to village together, walk, really.
And actually, when we were talking about this, we were talking about how it's so different from that isolation you felt. You didn't feel like you had to be away from your family or your friends.
Mm-hmm. And when I'm called, you know, by my friends, that first marriage, I couldn't even go up when my friends call me to go eat or be with them, go talk, you know, to go visit my first one. When I go home, there used to be an abusive when I come in. How come it took you so long, you know, abusing me, punching me. And then this one right now that I'm with, he doesn't mind me. Even I go to my hometown, I stay there I stay a couple of days or come back home. He's really good, you know.
Actually, I think I like this quote so much that I just had to write it down. You talked about how he would kind of be with your family. He was quiet,
mm-hmm.
and then he got to know them, and he got to know...
Got to know them, and he started teasing, and he's really quiet. But when he gets to know somebody, his teasingness comes out,
mm-hmm.
make my family laugh. And
so then he became, and I have here that you said he's a part of your family now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of, you know, you had this relationship where they kept you from your family,
yeah.
kept you from your friends. Now you have this relationship where he wants to be a part
of
part your family.
Part of the family, and he's, you know, happy all the time, not being scared.
Oh, and you definitely mentioned how you guys still make each other mad.
Yeah.
Like real relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. We get mad at each other and
but it's
later so on say, sorry, love you.
And then I actually have this other quote that I really liked, and you said, when you came back, he was happy. Specifically, you would go out and be with your friends. You came back, he'd be happy. Happy to see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does this feel more like that family? Because, you know, we talked earlier about how the promises that your ex would make you was that he would make you happier, give you a happier family. How do you feel that now you have someone who's willing to be a part of your family now, who wants to be a part of it?
Working things out together. You know, that's the best ways work, you know, instead of, you know, how I say it, how would I say it? Work together.
Instead of against each other?
Or? Yeah, against, instead of that way. Work together, you know, just work together.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of
communication
yeah.
and good relationship and, you know, being with friends and, you know, instead of fighting, just happier.
You just feel happier.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Even my family loves him too. And
how does that feel to have someone who's loved by your family? How does that make you
jealous? like they, you know, tease him more.
And just like, hey,
like
man.
I'm being left out. Jealous. Yeah.
Okay. And what would you tell those who are currently going through or recovering from abuse?
Talk to friends. Don't hide things. Just talk to friends. I always used to, you know, when my friends, when I was with that first one, I always used to lie a lot about the relationship. Who did that? I used just talk to your friends, family, you know.
You look like you want to shake them and say, let them help you.
Yeah. So,
what would ending domestic violence look like in our communities in this region? What do you think our region would look like if we could just end domestic violence?
Peaceful, loving. You know, being not afraid, not be scared to do stuff. I'm thankful for what my family's happy now.
And the peace you have.
And the peace I have. Like, it's freedom, but you know.
There's some issues. I mean, yeah. There's some problems and things to get over and things to improve. But I mean, that's life, you know?
Yeah, life is life. So
thank you so much for sharing your story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy that I could have you here today. And if you need any more information, people, you can contact TWC if you guys want any more information on domestic violence. Thank you so much for being on the radio show. And do you have anything else you want to say to them?
Yeah, toy malista kusuta toy asinruk alinguknani iulq un. It's better to have a life, you know, not going around being scared. Just be like freedom.
You're loving that freedom. I see those hands in the air. Freedom.
So, you know, be thankful.
Thank you so much for sharing. All right. Again, I would like to thank Eleanor Fox for showing a lot of bravery and a lot of care by sharing her story. And I would like to just let you know that even though the end of Domestic Violence Awareness Month is ending, we at TWC continue the fight year-round. And if you need any resources or need help, please feel free to call us at our business line, which is 543-3444, our crisis line, which is 543-3456, or our toll-free number, which is 1-800-478-7799. And I'll be going through the announcements again. Through the City of Bethel Cares money, which is passed through BACSF, TWC is offering individual assistance for those who have experienced financial difficulty because of COVID-19. You may qualify for assistance if you had to quarantine after exposure or couldn't work from home, or if you were furloughed from your workplace. If you think you qualify, please go to TWC's website, which is www.tundrapeace.org, and go to the COVID Grants tab to fill out an application online, or print one out and fax it to TWC. TWC's fax number is 907-543-3755. And then again, our website is www.twcpeace.org. Peace spelled as if spelling world peace. Domestic violence awareness bags and handouts are still going to be available to the community. So if you are interested in getting one, if you know anybody who's affected or experiencing violence and you'd like them to have resources, or if you just have a program where you meet a lot of people and you would like to hand them out, please feel free to call me, Annie Mae Lee, at 907-543-3444 for information and to get those delivered. Again, look out for the Domestic Violence Awareness Month Snapchat geofilter, which is centered around AC and TWC. So, if you would like to show your support, please take a picture with the caption, "I expect respect." And look out for TWC's board's message and about domestic violence, which can be seen on TWC's Facebook page. And if you would like information on TWC services, or really anything in the bags, please call our business line, which is 3444, our crisis line, which is 543-3456, or our toll-free number at 1-800-478-7799. Thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to Wellness Wednesdays on KYUK, a show about the health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us every Wednesday at 10 a.m.